Good morning and welcome. If you're visiting us this morning, I hope you find peace and friendship with us. And please join us for tea and coffee after the service when the Girls' Brigade are doing the lunch. There'll be a short meeting of the fundraising committee immediately after the service this morning. We'll just meet in the transept here. We'll meet for prayers in the church on Tuesday and Thursday this week, and please hold in your prayers the folks in Mainsacre Drive. That's at 9:15 in the morning. The next Guild Craft Night will be Monday, the 9th of September, 7:30 in the Church Hall. And the coffee morning will be here at St Ninian's every Tuesday, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. The Link magazine money will be collected next Sunday. Margaret will be at the door. The book group will meet on Sunday, the 15th of September at 7:30 in the Church Hall. And the book for this month is Pilgrim's Progress. Have Your Cake and Eat It is the Macmillan Cancer Support fundraiser here at St Ninian's Church Hall on Monday the 16th of September from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. You can come and go as you please. Tickets are £3 and they're on sale today if you would like a ticket. There's also going to be a raffle on the night, but there'll be two large hampers which are getting made up, and the raffle tickets for them will be sold any time now, Sadie, at £2 each. Because it's larger raffles, we're doing that separate. And any money raised will go to Macmillan Cancer. And anybody that would like to donate baking, I'd come along and help, it'll be much appreciated. The Hope Cafe's on Thursday the 19th of September, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Church Hall. And Stuart said it was a congregational conference, but he's changed the name while I was away, called it something different. It's on Thursday the 19th of September, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Now this is for elders, board members and any members of the congregation or adherents. So you're all welcome to come along to that, and it's to talk about the way forward in the community as a church. The training event at Streven Trinity Church has been cancelled. The bags for Sunday school will be collected on Thursday the 3rd of October, but can be handed into the church hall on Wednesday the 2nd of October between 6:30 and 9 p.m. And anyone that can come along on the Thursday morning to help to pack them onto the van, it would be much appreciated. Anyone willing to assist with a work party, if you could speak to Bob to arrange a suitable date. And if you know of anyone who's ill or in hospital or celebrating a happy occasion, if you could please let us know. Now, I don't know if any of them are here this morning, but Christine Blackwood was celebrated her 80th birthday. Norma Johnson celebrated her 70th birthday. And they're also celebrating their golden wedding within the next week. So it's been a busy time. We'll no sing happy birthday, I don't think, Lindsay, because I don't think they're here. Reported missing. The retiring offering at Jeanette Robb's service raised £2,800 for Christian Aid, and the family would like to thank everybody that donated. Thursday the 19th? Oh, it's the 19th. I've got the... It's okay, it would... That's passed. We already sung for that one. We're not singing again. Somebody left us in the bus at the Guild trip. We had a lovely day yesterday, so if it's yours, you can claim it from me. And the other thing I need to do is we need to have another fire drill, and we'll have it at some time within the next 4 weeks. We'll try and have it on a nice Sunday. But it's just to let you know that the fire alarm... They operate the nearest fire alarm call point. In the main church, the raise alarm will be five whistles or shouting fire. Leave the building by the nearest exit. Now, your nearest exit could be behind you, or it could be either side of you. just having coming back from a holiday, I'm quite good at that. it says here dial 99 and request fire and rescue service, but that's for some of the leaders to do that. We don't want everybody in the congregation dial 999 and report to the assembly point in the grass area out at the front gates of the church. Don't stop to collect your personal belongings, but I can tell you right now, everybody will have their handbag in their hand. Well, no, the main. Welcome, Yvonne. We look forward to what you have to say to us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. Now, can everybody hear okay? Because I had a choice this morning of three different mics to choose from. So I've got this wee fancy one in here. And feel welcome, because it's a lovely day outside. So see if you're wanting to do that fire drill. Just maybe about 5 minutes into the sermon would be fine. You can, no, okay. It's worth a try. Okay. We come to worship the God who inhabits our world and indwells our lives. We need not look up to find God. We need only to look around. Within ourselves, beyond ourselves, into the eyes of another. We need not listen for a distant thunder to find God. We need only to listen to the music of life, the words of children, the questions of the curious, the rhythm of a heartbeat. Let us come to worship the God who inhabits our world and who indwells our lives with open minds, open souls, and open hearts. Let us stand for those who are able and sing our first hymn this morning, hymn number 644, O Jesus, I Have Promised. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for another new day, to make new discoveries about your Spirit, to open our hearts to godly possibilities, to open our eyes to see you at work in this place, and to open our minds to your way in the world. We thank you, God, for the people who have taught us ways to follow you. We thank you for the people who have inspired us by overcoming the odds and inspiring hope in us in the face of adversity. We thank you, God, for the people who have gone out of their way to care for us and to provide for us, for the people who journey with us on the roads of faith. We praise you, God, for the mysteries that remain unsolved, for the problems that need a solution, for the discoveries yet to be made, for the dreams that have still to be dreamed, and trust that you will fill us with your Spirit, encourage us with your grace, and enable us to pray freely. God of grace and peace, who taught us to give of ourselves to others, who challenged us to share what we have with those that don't, who demanded us to stand up for justice and fairness for those whose voices are silenced. We are sorry because we have failed to keep our promises. We are sorry because we chose to ignore your healing teaching. We are sorry when we hoard what we have and we hide away from justice. Forgive us for being faint-hearted. Forgive us for turning away from the truth. Forgive us for our lack of courage. Forgive us for our stubbornness. Forgive us for not going that extra mile. Forgive us for not demonstrating love, compassion, and hope amidst the darkest days of faith. Yet, we believe in you. We trust in you. And we hope in you. You forgave our sins. You understand our weakness, and you love us more and more each day when we continue to follow you today and every day. So we pray the words your Son Jesus Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let's still ourselves for a few moments before Catherine reads for us this morning, as George lights our candle to signify God's presence among us here this morning.
Our reading this morning is Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. The cost of being a disciple. Once, when large crowds of people were going along with Jesus, he turned and said to them, Those who come to me cannot be my disciples unless they love me more than they love father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and themselves as well. Those who do not carry their own cross and come after me cannot be my disciples. If one of you is planning to build a tower, you sit down first and figure out what it will cost to see if you have enough money to finish the job. If you don't, you will not be able to finish the tower after laying the foundation, and all who see what happened will make fun of you. You began to build, but can't finish the job, they will say. If a king goes out with 10,000 men to fight another king, who comes against him with 20,000 men, he will sit down first and decide if he is strong enough to face that other king. If he isn't, he will send messengers to meet the other king, to ask for terms of peace while he is still a long way off. In the same way, concluded Jesus, none of you can be my disciple unless you give up everything you have. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thanks, Catherine. Good morning. Try that again. Good morning. Is it because that's you now been at school for a few weeks and we're a bit like, right, okay. Have any of you ever wanted to learn something new? Mm-hmm. Yep, what have you wanted to learn to do, Cameron?
Okay.
Some Spanish? Okay. That's, do you think that'd be quite hard?
It's all right.
Okay. What else? What else would you... Yeah, anything? No, Mira? No? Any of the big people? Anything that you would, you wished you had learned to do? You wished?
Crocheting.
Okay, that's a good. Well, that's exactly what I wish I had learned to do. And I'm going to ask Lindsay just to play something for us, because I think we're very blessed here to have the girls going round other churches or speaking to other people. Sometimes they don't have anyone. It's a kind of play. It's like a karaoke. That's what it feels like. When I went over to Hamilton, they had pre-recorded it, so it was pre-recorded. But the problem with that is he just does the one verse and repeats it and repeats it and repeats it. But he doesn't leave a long enough gap in between the verses. So you've kind of just finished the last one, it's straight into the next one. Whereas, obviously, when we've got these girls here, so I'm just going to ask Lindsay to play, and you can guess what it is. You know what that was from, don't you? What was it from? The Greatest Showman. I think I could do that. Dead easy. Surely. Right. Who wants to learn to play the piano? Who? Some of you might already be. Right, okay, what do we need then? What's the first thing we need if we're going to learn to play the piano?
Piano.
We do. We need a piano. Right. So how much would a second-hand piano cost us? Maybe £1,000? Yeah, seem a bit fair. Be a bit more than that, do you think? A bit less, you know. But we want a really good one, because, you know, we're going to be great at this, so. Right. Let's go with 1,000. What else do you think we need? That would help, Bob. Well, we've got feet. I mean, I've saw these people that, you know. What else do you think we would need?
A music teacher.
So we need to get a music teacher. Now that doesn't come free. So, music teacher, maybe if we're practicing an hour a week, £5, that's a great deal, I'm going to that music teacher. I think maybe £15-20 would maybe be about right for a music teacher, and that's probably only half an hour a week, an hour a week. There's something else we would need. If we've got the piano, we've got the teacher who's going to teach us, we need music. So we need to buy music, like we see here. And that costs money as well. So that's maybe £20 for a book. That's like, wait a minute. So we're £1,000 for this piano, £20 for the teacher, £20 for the book. This is adding up quite a bit. Are we still wanting to learn this piano? Are you sure? I'm not sure. But once we've got all that, there's something else that we need to do. Once we've got our piano, it's in the house, we've been to the teacher, we've got our music. Mira?
Practice it.
We need to practice. And I think most music teachers, I don't know if I'm right or not, but I think most music teachers would say, maybe practice for about half an hour every day. Okay? This is seeming a bit much to me now because, well, there's other things I like to do. You know, what if you had to practice, but actually your friend had asked you to go out, but then your mum said, well, no, you can't because you've half an hour piano to do. And I don't know that that's ever happened or that there'll be any arguments about that. I'm sure they'll say, no, I'm definitely going to learn the piano. But sometimes I think that's difficult because we have to weigh out the cost of doing something if we really, really want to do it and see if it's going to be worth it. Now, in the story that Catherine read this morning, that's really what Jesus was saying as well, because he said the same thing to some of the people that were following him. He said the same thing to the people who wanted to be his disciples, because Jesus told them that if they wanted to follow him, then they had to count the cost. They would have to put a lot more time into learning and practicing what Jesus was teaching them. In fact, Jesus was telling them that it could take so much of their time that they would have very little time for anything else, including spending time with their families and their friends. Jesus was saying that you can't just be a disciple. It doesn't just happen like that. It's the same if I wanted to learn the piano. Although I think in my head, oh, I could just play as good as Lindsay. That wouldn't work. I would have to put lots and lots of practice in to be able to be that good. So that's the same for us today. Being a disciple, a follower of Jesus, takes an awful lot of practice. And it takes a lot of time. But if we do take the time to learn what Jesus has taught us, then eventually we'll learn to do what Jesus did and the things that he knew. It's not always going to be easy, but you know, it's always going to be worth it as long as we're willing to pay the price. Now, I need your help with our prayer. It's a repeat after me, and it's not just for the children, it's for the adults as well. So, here we go. Dear God. Try that again. Dear God. Thank you for Jesus. Who teaches us how to live your better way. Help us to make the time so that we can really learn how to share your life with those around us. Amen. We're going to sing again. The hymn is 533, Will You Come and Follow Me? Catherine read a reading to us this morning, and it was taken from the Good News Bible, because that's the Bible that we use here in St. Ninian's. It's our pure Bible. Now, it used to be common that you would read along your Bible. You know, you'd have your Bible open when the minister said that the reading was about to begin. But we don't seem to do that the same nowadays. I remember when I first started coming to church, that is what happened, and I actually dreaded the readings, because 9 times out of 10, the reading would be finished before I'd even found it. Flipping through the pages or looking at the person beside you to see if you were. But thankfully, I've got better at it. Now, I've got better at it because I've read the Bible more. So I've practiced, in a way, I've practiced to read the Bible more, and that's how I've got better at it. But the thing that struck me is until a couple of years ago, although I knew there were different versions of the Bible, and we've probably all got one that we prefer. For me, I like to read the NIV version. Just find that's an easier one for me. But up until a few years ago, as I say, I never really thought that the same passage could read differently depending on what version you had taken it from. Quite often that can be something as small as maybe the use of a different word or even an omission of a word. And today's reading from Luke does just that. The Good News version uses a four-letter word that the others don't. It's a word that we like. It's a word that we associate with Jesus. The word love. Verse 26 reads, "Those who come to me cannot be my disciples unless they love me more than they love father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and themselves as well." Seems fair enough. But all the other versions read differently. That four-letter word, love, is replaced with another four-letter word. And it's a word we don't associate with Jesus. And it's a word we don't like very much. So I'm going to read it again, but this time from the NIV. Verse 26. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple." Wait a wee minute. There is a huge difference between these two words. Love and hate. I'm thinking when I'm reading this, really? So if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. So is Jesus saying, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give everything that I have? Hate your father, hate your mother, hate your wife, hate your children, hate your brothers, hate your sisters, hate even life itself. Oh, and then while you're at it, just give up all your possessions, and then and only then you will be ready to take up your cross and follow Jesus. Really? What is Jesus talking about? Are we to forget about honouring our parents? Wasn't it Jesus who said that we're to love our neighbours as we love ourselves? Didn't Jesus try to talk people into loving their enemies? Has Jesus forgotten that God is love? Why is Jesus talking about hating our fathers and mothers and children and brothers and sisters and life itself? It's difficult to recognise the Jesus in this text. This is not the gentle Jesus of my childhood. It's not the happy Jesus that smiled out from the pictures in my illustrated Bible. It's not the gentle Jesus that we've come to expect. This Jesus sounds too harsh. This Jesus wants us to turn us into religious fanatics who hate everybody and give up everything, even life itself. That can't be right. What's going on? Well, according to the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. The Gospel writer tells us that huge crowds were following him, clamouring for his attention, pleading for his healing touch, anxiously waiting for the next miracle, and pledging to follow Jesus wherever he was going, hoping against hope that Jesus could save them from all their problems. But only Jesus knows where they're going. Only Jesus knows that he is on his way to Jerusalem, headed straight for the cross. Only Jesus knows what horror lies ahead. At that moment, Jesus may well be their saviour, and they may want to follow him to the ends of the earth. But Jesus knows exactly what following him will mean. And so he asks the crowds to think carefully before they follow him any further. Jesus cautions the crowd, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple." Is Jesus contradicting the scriptures? Is he contradicting himself? Does Jesus really want his followers to hate? Jesus is trying to shock. He's trying to shock the crowds into some sort of understanding of what's going on. He's trying to shock them into an understanding of what's still to come. Jesus knows that most of the crowd that are there are not going to be able to follow him to the cross. Jesus' words are designed to shock the crowds into an understanding of what the cost of following Jesus is. Jesus knows that the Messiah seekers and the salvation hunters don't really want that type of leader who's headed to a cross. So Jesus' words are designed to shock the crowd. And now today, these same words shock us. Because according to the dictionary, the word hate is defined as intense hostility and aversion, distaste coupled and sustained ill will. Well, can I be honest with you? If that's what Jesus is asking, then you can count me out. Because I love my family. Okay, there might be times when I don't exactly like them, and there's probably times when they don't particularly like me. But hate them? Absolutely not. Never. There's times too when I'm not that happy with some parts of my life. But I don't hate my life. I don't want to hate my life. I like life. And I enjoy it. We know that we should put God first in our lives. After all, it's the first commandment. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Jesus is the Son of God, God's anointed King. He is the one who has the right to first place in our lives. And in our baptisms, we've agreed to give him that place. So what does that loyalty mean for our family commitments? Let's be clear here. Strong, loving families are vital to the kingdom of God. But what happens when perhaps some of our family are not happy about our Christian commitment? What happens if they don't share in our faith? What happens if they think it's silly? What happens if they resent it for the time that it takes away from them while we're maybe at church or doing things related to the church. That's when we have to be firm about our priorities and our commitment. We use figures of speech all the time without even thinking of them. We might say, this is a modern way of saying it, but the young ones might say, something's wicked. They don't really mean it's wicked. It's not bad. It's what's wicked, that's great. Or we might even say, we're so hungry we could eat a horse. Well, I don't think we're going to eat a whole horse. Well, I hope we're not going to eat a whole horse. That's what this hate language means. An Aramaic figure of speech, which simply means love less. Our love for Jesus is to be so passionate and committed and single-minded that compared to all other lives in our lives are left far behind. This would have been shocking, because it would have been shocking for these people. In the Jewish world of Jesus' day, family ties were sacred. So Jesus knows, by warning the crowds in this way, with this language, that it will shock them. Again, remember, only Jesus knows he is on his way to Jerusalem. Only Jesus knows that he is headed for the cross. So although for us today we might not like this kind of speech, if we put it into context, we can understand why. We can understand why Jesus would say it. Jesus is warning the crowds that following him means that they must turn away from the people they love and detach themselves from the life they've known. So Jesus is saying, count the cost before making the commitment. Just as a builder must count the cost of construction before beginning a project, like in the first of the two parables that we heard, when Jesus says, if one of you is planning to build a tower, you sit down first and you figure it out. You figure out what it will cost to see if you've got enough money to finish the job. If you don't, you won't be able to finish the tower and laying the foundation. And who see what happened will make fun of you. You began to build, but you can't finish the job, they will say. It's about commitment. During the Second World War, hundreds of thousands of soldiers, sailors, and airmen were willing to put their lives on the line, leaving careers and families behind. Why? Because they believed that the goal was worth it. Every day, across our towns and cities, thousands of people offer themselves as volunteers in hundreds of organisations, getting absolutely no material benefit from it, from themselves. Why? Because they believe in the goals and the values of those organisations. The gospel tells us that the kingdom of God is a goal. It's a goal so perfect, so beautiful, and so compelling that it's worth all the commitment we can give to it. God is holding us, he's holding out to us a future where there is no poverty or no war, no injustice, no oppression. God is holding out to us a future where the people of the world live in justice and peace. Jesus is calling for volunteers to make that happen. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be disciples. But it's going to cost us. The cost of following is not the cost of a flat screen TV, the cost of a holiday, the cost of a new sofa, the The cost of following is not the cost of a car, the cost of your weekly shop, the cost of a new outfit. The cost of following is not the cost of a train journey, the cost of a book, the cost of an illness. It's the cost of saying, love your neighbour, and showing it. The cost of believing I am the resurrection and letting ourselves be renewed in spirit and action. The cost of trusting. Behold, I make all things new. And engaging in that renewal. The cost of not storing up riches for yourself and sharing what life we have with others. The cost of letting someone strike you on both cheeks and walking away. The cost of knowing that we do not live by bread alone, and dividing that very bread with the rich and the hungry. The cost of enacting give to everyone who asks you, and finding a new way to live together in order to do so. The cost of loving your enemy and the outcry this shape of justice brings. It's the cost of being a disciple, picking up the cross and travelling the journey of word and flesh. I just wonder how much time, commitment, and sacrifice that we are willing to give to follow Jesus. Are we the volunteers he's calling for? Amen. Let's sing again. Hymn 726, When We Are Living, We Are In The Lord. Let's keep the silence as we offer our gifts to God. Our offering will now be uplifted. Gracious God, there are no words deep enough to thank you for all your goodness, no deeds great enough to thank you for all your love, no gifts costly enough to thank you for your gift in Jesus. But we want to make some kind of response to express our gratitude for all you have done for us. So we bring you now this money as a token of our love, a sign of our worship, and a symbol of our discipleship, offered to you through Jesus Christ our Lord in joyful and grateful praise. Amen. Our hymn is 543, Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness. Let us come to God in prayer. Gracious God, you have called us to follow you as disciples in our life together and as individuals through worship, prayer, and mission. Be with us as we seek to live this call. Give us the strength and enthusiasm to live the life you have called us to live. Help us as we seek to care for and nurture people, as we challenge areas of injustice that we find, and as we seek to serve you in our service of other people. In all that we speak, think, and say, be with us, Lord, so that the people we meet and serve will not see us, but will see you in us. Lord, there is nothing hidden from you. All our thoughts and plans and secrets, our fears, they're open to you, even when we try to hide them. Deal with the doubts and misgivings and fears of your church with the love and mercy which are a part of your nature. Gracious God, in you we can trust. Lord, you feel for the oppressed and the forgotten. You understand the damage which can lead to violence, the insecurity which can lead to defensiveness, and the neglect which can lead to lack of control. Heal the nations, restore what has been lost, and turn our hearts to discern your will. Gracious God, in you we can trust. Lord, you see the point at which discussions turn to arguments and preferences to selfishness. You know the love inside our hearts for one another that sings and dances and aches and worries. Work on us now in the depth of our being and bless our loved ones with a sense of joy. Gracious God, in you we can trust. Lord, you suffer with those who suffer and you weep with those who weep. We too stand alongside them now in whatever pain, distress or sorrow is engulfing them, longing for them to be comforted. Gracious God, in you we can trust. Lord, your way may be costly, but to whom else could we go? For you alone have the words to eternal life, and we offer you ourselves. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's join our voices in song once again as we sing our last hymn this morning, hymn 522, The Church is Wherever. Christ, you have carried the cross for us and the whole creation. Give us courage to pick up our cross again and follow you. Let us enter up the world with a faith that loves, filled with compassion and full of justice. And so, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore. please be seated.